winner. Bright and beautiful music. KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News. President Ford and congressional Democratic leaders have reached a last-minute compromise on energy policy. I'm Jerry Lande, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Concern over the impact of higher energy prices has produced a tentative compromise that evaded President Ford and congressional Democrats for weeks. The compromise worked out Friday between Mr. Ford, House Speaker Albert, and Senate Democratic Leader Mike Mansfield, only 2 days before present price controls on domestic oil expire. Mr. Ford will accept a short extension of those controls, something he heretofore has been unwilling to do, if Congress then agrees to gradually phase controls out, something it has heretofore been unwilling to do. The White House had insisted the impact of decontrol would be minimal. The Democrats have feared sudden decontrol would aggravate inflation and unemployment, hitting hardest those least able to pay. With neither side willing to bear the sole political onus, compromise now appears possible only days before Congress returns from its long August recess. More after this.
In today's economy, when it's tough enough handling the bills you expect, what would you do if you got hit with an unexpected bill?
Oh, brother, I wouldn't know where to get the money.
Get another job?
I don't even want to think about it.
Well, something can help.
Quaker State, your car.
Quaker State Motor Oil.
To keep it running young.
You see, regular oil changes with Quaker State can help avoid unexpected, expensive engine repair bills. Made from Pennsylvania-grade crude oil, the world's choicest, and refined an extra step, it's the number one selling motor oil. And now that you need Quaker State more than ever, you can find it in more places than ever. Quaker State can't stop the bills you expect, but it can help you avoid the unexpected.
Quaker State, your car. To keep it running young. To keep it running young. To keep it running young.
There is a new disclosure in the Hoffa case. Gene Fogel of WJR Detroit has the story.
It has been learned that the FBI felt probable cause existed to believe Charles O'Brien used a car belonging to the son of reputed Detroit mafia figure Anthony Giacalone to, in the words of the FBI, facilitate an abduction of former Teamsters President James Hoffa. WJR obtained the information from FBI documents that relate to the Hoffa case. O'Brien was using Giacalone's car on the day of Hoffa's disappearance, but the documents indicate the Bureau has not been able to find witnesses to O'Brien's whereabouts between 2:20 and 2:30 in the afternoon, which is the approximate time Hoffa vanished. The FBI points out in the documents that it has witnesses who claim O'Brien insisted he was with Giacalone at a suburban athletic club on the day Hoffa disappeared, but the owner of the club refuted that story. This is Gene Fogel for CBS News, Detroit.
30 passengers went for a thrilling ride Friday on an experimental raft through the white water of the Niagara River Gorge just below the famed falls. One of those passengers, reporter Dave Cooley of the Buffalo Courier Express, described the moment he said he'll never forget.
In front of us was a great big deep trough of green foamy water, and on the other end of that trough was a gigantic wave about as high as a house. And it just heeled right up. It just went straight up in the air on this wave and flipped back over on all the passengers. Were just shot right down into the water in the midst of this gigantic wave.
Cooley and some 25 others were rescued, three reported drowned, one still missing. The Federal Trade Commission has issued a set of new advertising guidelines for automakers' claims about fuel economy. The auto industry must disclose mileage figures for both in the city and driving on the open road. And prospective buyers must be warned they may not get the same gas mileage as professional test drivers who work for the auto industry. After weeks of turbulence, Portugal has a new prime minister. He's the Navy Chief of Staff, Admiral José Pinheiro de Azevedo. He replaces the controversial Vasco Gonçalves, under fire from moderates and rightists because of his close associations with the Communist Party. More in a minute.
How would you like a great vacation to Walt Disney World near Orlando, Florida? You'll fly first class and enjoy 7 days and six nights, all free. CBS Radio Mystery Theater is holding a contest, and the prizes will be vacations for four, luxury accommodations, meals, transportation, and free tickets to the incredible array of attractions. 400 Mickey Mouse watches will also be given for runners-up. Hear how to enter the contest on Mystery Theater today over this CBS Radio Network station. Promotional consideration by Walt Disney World.
Somebody still cares about quality. To the Budweiser people, that's a lot more than just words. It's a commitment and a promise to keep brewing Budweiser the way it's always been brewed. With care, with pride, and with a Beechwood-aged taste that speaks for itself. Hear it talking. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
American officials with the Kissinger Party in Jerusalem say that Israel and Egypt will approve a Sinai peace agreement next week. But a complicated scenario will call for three additional steps before the accord is put into effect. The Israeli cabinet and parliament must agree. Israeli and Egyptian negotiators must work out a series of technical protocols. And the Congress must endorse the stationing of American electronics technicians, so-called peace watchdogs, in the Sinai. I'm Jerry Landay, CBS News.
Radio Mystery Theater presents Come In. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. 40 years ago, in a newspaper interview, Clarence Darrow, the famous lawyer, said, "Everybody is a potential murderer. I've never killed anyone, but I frequently get satisfaction reading the obituary notices." Have you ever felt that way? Most of us have. We dream the supreme revenge. An enemy is alive 1 minute, dead the next. That's in a dream. No one except a person with a criminally twisted mind ever commits murder. But Alex Hunter found a way. Quite ingeniously, he turned frustration and jealousy into an instrument of death and got away with it.
What's wrong, Alex? Is it Phyllis again?
Yes. She's all wrong.
Oh, dear. Such a beautiful young woman. I thought you were devoted to her.
I became infatuated with her. But that's not love. Look, I'm 55, she's 33. Proud of her beauty, tantalizing to other men, demanding and, I fear, unfaithful. Older man, beautiful younger woman, and a second marriage that for me is unbearable.
I'm very sorry.
And it's until death us do part.
Alex!
Does that shock you, gentle Abby? Then allow me to put it more bluntly. I wish that Phyllis were dead.
Our mystery drama, Murder by Proxy, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Roy Windsor and stars Mandel Kramer. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
The following fable is presented to make you want to buy a Buick. All your life, you've been denied the things you want, haven't you?
Dad, can I have that mountain?
No.
Sandra Sue, can I have a kiss?
No.
A handshake?
No.
Pet your dog?
I think not.
Sergeant, may I have a weekend pass instead of marching through the swamp with the rest of the fellows?
But you're your own person now, aren't you? And you want to make up for all those good times you've been denied, don't you? So now, if you want something, you ought to darn well be able to have it. Yes, even a Skyhawk. Buick's sporty personal little road car that comes with a famous Buick V6. A car with flair, spirit. A car to make up for all the Christmases you wanted sleds but got socks. So if you want to buy a Skyhawk, by golly, you go right down and ask your Buick dealer. He won't tell you no.
It's mine? To keep? Gee.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. You know, the worldwide trend today is toward a universal system of measurement, the metric system. The names of this new system may sound strange to you at first, but fortunately, there are only a few words that have to be learned for everyday use, and these are the millimeter, centimeter, meter, and kilometer for describing length and distance, the milliliter and liter for capacity or volume, the gram, kilogram, and ton for weight, the kilometer per hour for highway speed, and the degree Celsius or centigrade for temperature. You're already using some of these terms more than you may realize. For example, when you go to the supermarket, you see weights expressed in grams on more and more packaged items. Now, for more information on this whole metric system, write to Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C.
The old aphorism insists that marriage is made in heaven. Can it be unmade on a jumbo jet flying from Los Angeles to Chicago? Mr. Alexander Hunter, 55, is a prominent investment banker. He lives in Evanston, Illinois. 2 years ago, his first wife died. He married again, Phyllis Wilson, a divorcee. Phyllis is 33, physically beautiful and conscious of it, intelligent and opportunistic. Marriage to Alex Hunter assured her of wealth, affection, and a social position. Men desired her, but did not love her. A tragic young woman, a victim of her own beauty, pretending to an ego she did not have. Her doom was almost foreordained. High above the bank of clouds over Kansas, Alex Hunter has a strange encounter.
Mind if I join you, Mr. Hunter?
What? Oh, no, of course not. Well, how do you know my name? Do I know you?
Sure. You don't remember, that's all. It's nice, ain't it? 5 miles up in the air and it looks like a bar and lounge in a Chicago hotel. Knocks me out. It don't mean so much to you because you fly like this all the time, but it's a first for me. You're used to it.
Yes, that's true. The novelty has worn off. One gets used to most things.
Some you don't get used to, Mr. Hunter. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you'll excuse me.
A prison you don't get used to.
Prison?
Yeah, the pen, the big house. I was in for 20 years, and I didn't get used to it.
It's very interesting.
You want to hear what it's like, Mr. Hunter?
Not particularly. It does sound depressing. I'm happy that you're free. Now,
you
you'll be good...
You shouldn't be, Mr. Hunter.
What do you mean by that? Why do you keep repeating Mr. Hunter this, Mr. Hunter that? I don't know who you are. Without meaning to be rude, I really would like to return to my seat.
Well, there's lots of time for that. Thanks for saying you're happy I'm free. You're a nice man. I wish you wasn't.
Just who are you and what are you driving at?
Well, now that's better. Tim Cohane's the name. Remember?
Tim Cohane? Name means something. Does it ring a bell? Yes. Tim Cohane. I was on a jury once and there was a Tim Cohane. Yes, now I remember. We tried you for murder. I was the jury foreman. You pleaded manslaughter. Murder without malice, express or implied.
Uh-huh.
I recall the judge defining the charge for us. And we sent you to prison for life. Joliet, right?
20 years, Mr. Hunter. Paroled for good behavior.
That's very commendable. But it doesn't bring back the jeweler you shot when he found you robbing his store.
Nick done it.
Well, before he died, the old man identified you as the man who shot him.
It was Nick.
So you kept insisting, but your fingerprints, Mr. Cohen.
He shot the old man and dropped a gun. He was grabbing the jewelry. I picked up the gun.
Yes.
That's why.
Yes. We never did get Nick, did we? An airtight alibi, as I recall.
Yeah.
Well, it seems you've paid your penalty to society, and I wish you well.
Oh, you're really cool, Mr. Hunter. 20 years in the can, remember? I rot in the pen for 20 years. My wife has to sell the bungalow. The kids run wild. She gets sick and can't get the kind of medical help she needs, and she dies.
Oh.
Who cares? Do you care she's dead and my kids are gone who knows where? No. It was just a day's work for you and the rest. The bum's guilty, sent into the pen. And when the bum comes out, what's he come out to? Nothing. Might as well be dead. And you wish me well.
I'm sorry about your wife and children.
I was 28 when you cut off my life.
A jury sentenced you, Mr. Cahane. You cut off your own life. A jury found you guilty of murder, but settled for manslaughter and sent you to prison. Willfully or without malice express, you caused a death. And you've paid the penalty.
You ain't paid, Mr. Hunter.
Meaning what?
I'm gonna kill you, Mr. Hunter.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
You amaze me, Tim. May I call you Tim? We seem to have embarked on a very close relationship, haven't we?
You are cool, Mr. Hunter. I didn't know if you'd yell for help.
And if I had?
I'd shoot you dead on the spot.
Uh-huh. And what about you?
Me too. I got nothing to live for.
What's to prevent me from reporting your threat to the captain?
I'm sticking close to you, Mr. Hunter. That's why I flew first class.
When we land, what if I point you out to the police?
I'll be gone, and they'll think you're nuts.
Mm-hmm. You do have a point. Well, why don't you kill me now and get it over with?
It's too easy. 20 years, Mr. Hunter. That's a long time to sweat it out. And you sweat it out.
For how long?
A day, a week, I don't know. In the city, in your house.
You know where I live?
Sure. Evanston. Some house, and Mrs. Hunter... She's some dish.
Yes. A beautiful woman. I'll miss her, Tim.
I missed my wife, and now she's dead.
I have no choice, I suppose. You know, I am quite rich.
No choice. You're dead, Mr. Hunter.
I see. And you selected me because I was foreman of that jury, is that right?
Yeah. If I get away with knocking you off... I get as many of the others as I can before some cop gets me.
So my days are numbered. You've been following me, Tim?
Yeah, to L.A. and back. I could have killed you any time the last 5 days.
Why didn't you?
I wanted to talk first. So you know what was going to happen and then sweat it out.
Your form of torture?
Yeah. But it hasn't worked out that way. Maybe you're scared stiff, but I don't see it. You play it cool.
I accept what's inevitable, Tim. You're determined to kill me. If a person's willing to die for murder, nothing can prevent him from committing it.
That's right.
Then let's have a drink together. A drink to the great adventure.
Oh, Jimmy.
Mrs. Hunter?
You fool.
Why aren't you going to invite me in? Oh, I know you are madly in love with me.
Oh, I am I? You forget that I am Mrs. Alexander Hunter, a respectable housewife. And you? You're, well, what are you exactly? The public paramour?
Not true. I have eyes only for you.
And you. You are a fake Jimmy Marquette. But you are a reasonably attractive flirt.
A flirt?
And...
me? Now look at you, standing there in a thin silk peignoir, alluring even without makeup, a wicked look in your eyes. Oh. Come on, Phyllis, kid yourself, but don't try to kid me. Oh, I dare you to let me in.
No, thank you. What if Alex walked in now and found you standing here ogling his wife?
Oh, am I ever.
Well, stop it. I have to get dressed for your party. Or have you come to say it's off?
No, it's on. I wanted to make sure you'd be there.
Well, that's flattering, I suppose. Yes, we'll be there.
Oh, you have to bring the old man?
You invited us, not just me.
Yeah. Phyllis. Oh, now, Phyllis, you know how I feel about you.
You are off limits, Jimmy. Alex is not exactly the permissive type.
But how can you stand him? He just doesn't fit in with someone our age.
He's not that old, and he's rich. And all this, the house, the cars, the land, is all mine.
Well, I'm not exactly poor, baby.
I settled for Alex Hunter, and I won't unsettle for you.
But, look, couldn't we see each other alone sometime? You know, just thinking about you drives me wild. And when I think about you and him...
Bye-bye, Jimmy. Just bye-bye. Alex should be home soon. And we'll be at your party in an hour.
Oh, sweet Phyllis. Make me immortal with a kiss.
Oh, you have got it bad. Goodbye.
Yeah, I'll kill myself.
Not on my doorstep, if you please. Goodbye.
So, what do you think, Carl?
You told this guy in the plane, this Mr. Hunter, you was going to knock him off?
Yeah.
Oh, Tim, come on, you lost your marbles.
Hunter was foreman of the jury that sent me up. I'm going to kill him and the rest of the lousy 12.
Oh, boy, listen to him. You haven't got a chance in a million. Timmy, baby, you just got out of the pen. You want to go back?
No, and I ain't going back. I'm killing Hunter. If I get killed, it don't matter.
You mean it, don't you?
Yeah, and you're going to help me.
Oh, Tim, I don't know. I don't like it.
You don't have to like it. You drive your car and we stake out his house. I take care of him and you get me away from there.
Oh, just like that, huh? You think this guy is dumb or something? He's got cops crawling all over his place.
Oh, no, not this guy. Not Mr. Hunter. He's kind of weird. He said if a guy wants to murder another guy and doesn't care if he gets hit, then the guy who's going to be murdered ain't got a chance.
Now, listen to me. You knock him off, you'll be running until they get you. You don't make sense.
Pick me up a 10, Carl. It's a 45-minute drive to Evanston from here.
Okay. Oh, but listen, Tim...
No, this is it. I want to get it over with. 20 years in the pen, I begin to get even tonight.
Phyllis, darling, I just got home from the coast. I've spent a rough couple of hours in the office, and I'm to go to a party?
Why not? It'll do you good to relax with friends.
Oh, come on. Friends, most of them are young enough to be my...
What difference does that make? They're successful and they're interesting.
And they drink too much and they paw over you.
Oh, you're jealous.
Well, yes, I find it offensive.
Ah, don't be stuffy.
Is it stuffy to be offended when a slob like Jim Marquette ogles you and paws you and you let him?
And just what do you mean by that?
Oh, please, Phil, let's not quarrel. I love you. I don't want to share you with...
No one loves me. No one. No one ever has. Since I was 18, I knew what I did to men, and I knew what they wanted. But that wasn't love. And you are no different. You were in love with your first wife. And you want me to think that you're in love with me? Don't kid yourself, Alex. My blonde hair and my face and my long legs excite you. But you are not in love with me.
I am.
Are you coming along with me to Jimmy's party?
No, I'm not. I loathe that leering ladies' man. Besides, I want to stay close to home. Phyllis, a man has threatened to kill me.
What?
And I expect that he will. I wanted to spend this night with you.
Are you serious, Alex? A man is going to kill you?
It's no joke. Now, won't you stay home with me?
A man's going to kill you? Oh, don't be absurd. And don't scowl at me as if you'd like to kill me. Would you, my dear? Sometimes isn't that what you feel? Beautiful, flirtatious Phyllis. My wife with her bohemian friends. What if she were dead? End of jealousy, end of suffering, end of suspicions. Unfounded.
You can say that with a straight face, you and Jimmy Marquette, who...
Believe what you want to, Alex. Send your imagined killer after me. You'd like that, wouldn't you? Alex?
Sometimes you can almost read my thoughts, my dear.
Jealousy is the greatest of all evils and the least pitied by those who cause it. That maxim was coined by La Rochefoucauld 300 years ago. Alex Hunter, indeed, is a jealous man. His doubts gnaw away at his insides. He's old, she's young, and tantalizing to others. He's married to her, but he doesn't possess her. Out there in the dark is a man determined to murder Alex Hunter. Is he afraid? Probably not. Death would be a relief. I'll return shortly with Act Two.
I'm Hyman Brown, producer of Radio Mystery Theater. More good news. We have another winner in that big contest we're holding with Walt Disney World. Grand prize this week goes to Mrs. Edward C. Rita of Fairbanks, Alaska. She's a regular listener to the Mystery Theater on station KFRB. Let me remind you, this is the final week for our Mystery Theater contest. You could win an all-expense-paid one-week trip for four to fabulous Walt Disney World near Orlando, Florida. First-class flight, accommodations at the beautiful Dutch Inn on Lake Buena Vista, free tickets to exciting exhibits and scenic rides, plus swimming, fishing, golf, tennis in this vacation kingdom of the world. And for runners-up, 100 unique Mickey Mouse watches. It's such fun to wear. But hurry, this is the final week. Entries must be received by Wednesday, September 3rd. I'll be back right after this next act to tell you how you can enter.
Hello, everybody. This is Cousin Bruce Morrow for the Foundation Church. Now, these are troubled times. Not a lot of money around. Work's kind of tough to get. Apathy's here. We're disillusioned. Wondering what's going to go down next. Well, it's easy to go along with it, right? I mean, just sit around and say, who cares? You don't let the next guy worry about it. But does it have to be like this? Pride, dignity, truth. Being straight with one another. Now, these qualities have not disappeared. They've just gone to sleep for a while, right? But now's the time to wake them up. Only we can do it. This message brought to you by the Foundation Church, 111 East 38th Street, New York, New York, zip 10016.
Twenty years ago, Alex Hunter was foreman of a jury which sent Tim Cohane to prison for murder. During those two decades, Tim determined that when he was released, and he was, for good behavior, he would kill Hunter. An extraordinary vow. Impossible? Indeed not. Each of us at one time or another has said, "I could kill you." We say it, but we seldom mean it literally. Phyllis, Alex Hunter's young and beautiful wife, has gone alone to Jimmy Marquette's party. It's now 8:30.
Alex, I can't believe it's you speaking. You wish Phyllis dead?
Hello, what's this? Alex, what nonsense have you been handing Abby?
I suppose it does sound like nonsense, Len.
Well, of course it is. Wishing Phyllis dead.
Oh, lovers quarrel. Blow over by morning. Tell us about your trip, Alex.
Be serious, Lem.
Nonsense. Which Phyllis dead? Striking girl. You're to be envied, old chum. Now, go home and make up.
You know, you're a tonic, Lem.
I'm glad I'm good for something.
Alex, you frighten me. You are serious, aren't you?
If it will rub that expression of worry off your face, Abby, I assure you that I was only thinking aloud. Feeling aloud is more like it. But there are times when I would give anything not to have married Phyllis. Not to have lost friends my own age, like both of you. Not to have lost nights of sleep, not to have as my constant companion the old green-eyed monster of jealousy.
It's quite a statement, Alex. You mean the marriage hasn't worked out, eh?
In the last few months, it's fallen apart.
Oh, I am sorry to hear that.
I suppose it was to be expected. May and September marriages may work sometimes, but not for Phyllis and me. She's 22 years younger than I am, physically beautiful, but she's amoral. She really is.
That's a very serious accusation, Alex.
Abby, she's a hopeless flirt.
Isn't that a dandy, old-fashioned word to apply to a woman?
Are you sure you aren't being stuffy, Alex?
Is she at home?
She went to Jim Marquette's party out on Lakeshore Drive. I was invited, but I wanted to stay home. We quarreled. She drove over alone, and I stayed home, fixed a sandwich, went for a stroll, and your lights were on.
Of course. I wish I could make a suggestion. Haven't got one.
Oh, of course not. Well, my troubles will be past sooner than you expect.
Divorce?
No. Murder.
What? Murder? Have you lost your mind?
Alex, you couldn't.
Oh, no, certainly not. I mean, my murder.
What?
Now, what are you talking about? Now, make sense, Alex.
20 years ago, I was foreman of a jury which sent a man named Tim Cohane to prison for murder. He was released after 20 years, and he's determined to murder me and the rest of the jury, and he will. His life means nothing to him.
Well, how do you know all this?
We had an interesting chat on the plane from Los Angeles.
Ah, totally mad. You and this convict chatted about his plan to murder you.
You didn't have him arrested?
I couldn't report him. He'd have shot me then and there, and then himself.
Well, did you report this to the police?
No. When a man's willing to die to commit murder, the police are helpless.
But they could have picked him up.
And charged him with what? Threatening me? He'd deny it. And who would believe my fantastic story?
You've done nothing.
There's nothing for me to do. And I don't really care that much, Abby. My life is barren. I have memories, but I haven't added to them since I married Phyllis.
No, it's the most outlandish story I've ever heard. I won't believe any of it.
I do, Lem.
You think this convict is out here in Evans?
I have no idea where he is. He spoke to me tonight when I left LaSalle Street.
Just like that?
Mm-hmm. He was very pleasant. Soon, Mr. Hunter, he said.
It's a nightmare. Lem, call the police.
No, please, Abby. Look, it will happen. Nothing can stop it. It's my life, my problem, and I won't involve others in it. If he kills me and he's killed, I may have saved 11 other lives. Good night.
Alex, don't go.
Good night.
Lem, the police.
Yes, right away.
It's the police, Lem.
Yes, right. I hope it's an officer I know.
All right, evening, Mr. Small.
Oh, Joe, I'm glad it's you. Come in. Abby, Lieutenant O'Malley.
Oh, of course. How are you, Joe? I saw Francie and that handsome boy of yours the other day in Fountain Square.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah, he's quite a boy, Mrs. Small.
Yes, I appreciate your coming around, Joe. Did I sound crazy on the telephone?
Well, kinda. You mean someone really is gunning for Mr. Hunter?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Ex-convict named Tim Cohane. 20 years in the jug. He wants revenge on the jury, which sent him to Joliet.
Oh.
And he's going to kill him one by one.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yes, agreed. You sound crazy even talking about it, but Hunter left here half an hour ago, and he doesn't think it's crazy. He expects to be shot. He's at home now.
Mm.
No. Maybe not. Maybe he's wandering around making himself a target. Anyway, I thought I'd better report it.
Well, look, if Mr. Hunter knows a killer's after him, why would he be wandering around?
Well, he's a little crazy, too, Joe. Lots of worries.
This is a new one on me.
Yes, me too.
He wasn't drinking.
No. Cold sober. Doesn't drink much at all. No, the ex-con talked with him on the plane. Said his number was up. So, Hunter is fatalistic about it. Expects to get it any time. Needs protection.
Well, he'll get it. My partner and me in the prowl car will watch the house. And if we get a call, one of us will hang around Mr. Hunter's house.
Thanks, Joe. He's my best friend. I don't want to see him hurt.
Right. Good night.
Good night, Joe.
Oh, good night, Joe.
Good night, Mrs. Small.
Nice man, Joe O'Malley.
Lem, I don't feel right about this. I mean, shouldn't one of us be over there with Alex?
Frankly, no. Let the police handle it. It's late. It's 11 o'clock. That was a long talk.
Poor man.
Yep. He finally sees Phyllis as his friends have always seen her. Vain, arrogant, a tease, and rather common.
Now, be fair, Lem. A beautiful woman often has to become hard. So many men desire that she's forced to become distrustful. Her defense is to tantalize them, make them squirm, make fools of themselves, and then when she's emasculated them, says goodbye. I understand that.
Yes, but Alex married her. He loves her. Why can't she relax and give him a decent marriage?
Well, maybe because she can't. Her guard's been up so long, it's become a wall between her and trust. She really is a beautiful woman.
The shell is beautiful, and not her mind and soul. He never should have married her. Guess he thinks she's unfaithful to him.
You mean with Jim Marquette?
Mm.
No, Lem. He's just the latest she's leading through her hoops. A woman like Phyllis never succumbs. If she did, she'd be vulnerable. And she's not that.
Hey, how long are we going to wait?
We wait until Mr. Hunter comes home. He went out about 8:30.
Well, you could have knocked him off then.
I want to talk with him first.
Look, I don't like hanging around like this, parked in some guy's driveway. What if he comes home? What's he going to think, us parked in his driveway?
We're turning around, that's all. Relax.
Hey, there's a prowl car, Tim.
Yeah?
Stopping at Hunter's house. One cop has gone up to the front door. Come on, let's get out of here.
Get your shirt on, let's watch.
He's coming back.
Sure, nobody's home. The door's locked.
What about the wife?
The car's gone, Hunter's car. She's out someplace. See? Cops getting back into the prowl car and they're leaving. Now, take it easy.
Easy. How long are we going to hang around?
Hey, look. Another car's pulling to Hunter's driveway. There's a guy and a woman.
Is that Hunter?
Don't be stupid. You know, he walked out of the house at 8:30. It's some guy bringing his wife home.
No way, dear Jimmy. On your way.
Oh, let me come in, Phyllis.
Don't be a fool. Alex would kill you.
Alex? He couldn't break a pane of glass. I'd like to have it out with him. I won't give you up. Now, I'll get him out of your life.
I don't want him out of my life. But you're out of it, Jimmy, my boy.
Oh, come on.
I mean it. You're 35, you act like 16.
Oh,
good night.
Phyllis.
Good night, Jimmy.
Oh, you dirty...
You are not 16. You're younger. Use the car if you want to.
Oh, I'd rather walk.
Your privilege. See you around. Night.
Hi, Mr. Hunter.
What? Oh, hello, officer.
Joe O'Malley.
Yes, of course.
It's almost midnight, Mr. Hunter.
Oh, yes, it is. It's 5 of 12.
Mr. Small called.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, he said some guy is gunning for you.
I told Mr. Small not to worry the police.
Oh, but that's our business, Mr. Hunter. I mean, no kidding. Has some ex-con threatened you?
He's going to kill me, Joe.
Well, he can't get away with that, Mr. Hunter. You should have had us pick him up.
No, he can get away with it. He doesn't care if you shoot him down.
Oh. Well, can you describe him? We'll pick him up and just ship him out.
He's clean. You couldn't charge him.
Well, he said he was going to kill you.
No, he'll deny that, and I can't prove it. I'll just have to work this out myself.
You don't seem much worried, Mr. Hunter.
Well, I don't much care what happens, Joe.
Well, me and Mancuso will keep an eye on the house.
Well, just don't frighten my wife. She'll be coming home from a party.
Oh, she already did. Some guy dropped her off.
Oh, I see. Well, thank you, Joe. Good night.
Now look, anyone prowls around here, we'll investigate. Good night.
Hi, Mr. Hunter. No what? Lights.
Tim?
Yeah.
You heard the officer?
Yeah. You kind of disappoint me, Mr. Hunter.
I didn't call the police. Friends of mine did.
Oh. Well, that makes me feel better. A cool bird like you don't panic.
Well, I haven't so far. For reasons of your own, you decided to kill me even if it costs you your own life. Under those circumstances, no one can prevent you from killing, so I accept that. That's why I'm cool.
Right. That cop don't worry me. I killed you, maybe he gets me. That's okay. Like I said, I got nothing to live for.
Then, this is it?
This is it.
I see my wife fell asleep on the couch.
Yeah, she came in half an hour ago and flopped down. She's a beautiful woman, Mr. Hunter.
Yes,
She is beautiful. You were in the house when she came home?
That's right.
Alone?
I'm alone. Oh, you mean her?
Yes, Mrs. Hunter.
Some guy left her at the door. She gave him a brush. Then she came in the living room and called your name, Alex. And she twirled around and flopped down. Fell asleep half an hour ago.
She drunk?
Nah, feeling good, that's all. I did get that Jimmy out of your life, Mr. Hunter.
What life? You said this is it, right?
You're the first, Mr. Hunter. There's 12 of you. I'll get as many of you as I can. There won't be much noise.
I'm sorry I've disappointed you, Tim. Like you, I don't care if I die. My only regret is leaving my beautiful wife. Now promise me that you won't harm her. She means more to me than life itself. Even if she wakes up and screams, promise me, Tim, that you won't hurt her. There's no finer woman on earth. You understand? You lost your own wife.
A strange twist. Alex Hunter has wished his wife dead, but listened to him glorify her. He faces a man determined to kill him. That doesn't seem to worry him too much. He's worried about his wife. Don't harm her, if you please. The very woman he wished dead only hours ago. Alex Hunter has not spoken honestly to his intended assassin. Will malice be added to falsehood? I'll return soon with Act 3.
I'm Hi Brown, producer of the Mystery Theater, with news that our contest with Walt Disney World ends Sunday, August 31. You can win an all-expense-paid, 7-day, 6-night vacation trip for 4 to the vacation kingdom of the world near Orlando, Florida. You will fly first class, stay in the Dutch Inn at Lake Buena Vista, and enjoy all the fun-filled Disney attractions free, including Disney's bicentennial celebration, America on Parade. To enter, send your name and address to Mystery Theater, Post Office Box 1, Radio City Station, New York, 10019. A winner will be drawn at random. There are 400 Mickey Mouse watches as prizes also. Just send your name and address to Mystery Theater, P.O. Box 1, Radio City Station, New York. Contest void where prohibited. Employees of CBS and Walt Disney are not eligible. Entries must be received by September 3rd to be eligible for the final drawing. Winners will be notified by mail.
You are in Brazil, northeastern Brazil. Far from tropical Amazon jungles and far from the bright lights of big cities. This area is often stricken by drought, life is hard, and childhood diseases such as measles are sometimes fatal. A child suffering from malnutrition or dehydration cannot fight disease. But hope lives in Brazil. Project Hope, introducing new ideas in healthcare, such as well baby clinics. In a pilot program operated jointly by Project Hope and Brazilian doctors and nurses, a group of 40 babies has undergone monthly checkups for a year. Their mothers were instructed on good hygiene, nutrition, and immunization. All of these babies lived, while typically 5 of the 40 would have died during the first year. Hope lives because you help. Keep it up. Write Project Hope, Room A, Washington, D.C. Alex Hunter faces a gun in the hand of ex-convict Tim Cohane. The scene is the living room of Hunter's house in Evanston, Illinois. Mrs. Hunter is asleep on the couch. He dislikes his beautiful wife, and he suspects her of infidelity. Yes, he's just told the ex-convict, please, not to harm his wife. She means more to me than life itself. Hardly true. A lie, in fact. To what purpose? It's midnight, and as she predicted, Abby Small can't go to bed.
I won't sleep until I know that Alex got through the night safely.
I think I'll walk over there, walk past his house, take a look, see if the police have an eye on it. You want some fresh air?
No, I'll stay home, Lamb. If anything happened, it's too ghoulish for me.
Right. Did you ever hear of such a situation?
I stay. still can't quite believe it.
You know, I remember something from college. Revenge is a wild kind of justice and so on. So, yes. Revenge of wrong putteth the law out of office. It's Francis Bacon, I think.
How did that jump into your head?
This is Tim Cohen. He's out for revenge. He kills Hunter. And he does putteth the law out of office. Some word putteth makes sense, though. Now, if Hunter's murdered, the law certainly is putteth out of office. It's flouted. That's funny. 1975. We think we're civilized, and a maniac gets loose and takes the law into his own hands and kills. And there is nothing the law can do about it.
The man's arrested.
No, not Cohen. Hunter told us Cohen is ready to die like a cobra going after a man. He kills a man. He doesn't think of being killed himself. He doesn't care. He'll strike without any thought of the consequences. He doesn't mind dying if he gets his revenge. Hunter's right. There is no defense against an assassin who is ready to die.
Poor Alex.
He's got a death wish. He could wring that woman's throat. What a fool he was to marry her. You remember Laura?
Now, don't, Lem. She's gone.
She was a splendid woman. Alex and Laura. Ideal couple. Dead now 3 years. Yes, I often think of her. And now, Phyllis. I'll walk over, Abby.
I'll wait up. I'll boil some water for tea.
Yes, good idea. I'll be home soon.
Promise you won't harm my wife, Tim. Look at her. Phyllis means more to me than life.
That's how I felt about my wife. She died while I was in the pen.
I know, and I'm sorry for you.
It took the wind out of me. Life became empty, and when I found out, I hit the cell bars until my hands bled. That's when I said I'd get out of there and make all of you suffer for sending me up.
I understand.
You don't let bygones be bygones when you're talking about a wife who died because you wasn't there to look after her. And that's why I'm going to kill you, Mr. Honey.
I know that, Tim. And I don't care, just so you don't hurt my wife. No, that's not right. I do care. I think of all the years ahead with Phyllis. Wonderful years, and I do care. I'll miss those years, that future with her. If anything happened to her and I was alive, I don't know what I'd do. I couldn't face it. I really couldn't. I'd walk around in a daze. I'd end up in a sanitarium.
Answer it, Mr. Hunter. And don't make a mistake. I'll kill her and then you.
No, you wouldn't.
Answer the door.
Oh, hi, Mr. Hunter. Just checking up.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Joe. We were just going to bed.
Look, you can relax now. We picked up a guy parked in a driveway a few houses away. Mrs. Dietz noticed he was parked in the Moore's driveway and called the station. He said he was just turning around. Mancuso took him in for questioning. You know, maybe he's the guy who's gunning for you.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Joe.
Now you can sleep, right?
Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot.
That's okay. I'll be hanging around. Good night.
Good night.
You give me an idea, Mr. Hunter.
I did.
Yeah. You've been pretty cool all along until I said I'd kill her and you.
Don't you harm my wife.
Yeah, it's more like it. You're scared. On the plane, you was mighty cool in downtown on the South Street when I talked with you after you came out of your office. Cool. I couldn't figure you. You didn't seem to care that you was a dead man. Maybe you don't care. Maybe you don't care about anything except her. You just said if anything happened to her, you'd end up in the funny house.
Tim.
I want you to suffer, Mr. Hunter. Oh, it's easy to wipe you out, but I guess there's only one way to make you suffer. Her.
Please, Tim. Please. Don't harm my wife.
20 years in the pen, Mr. Hunter. I suffered until I was almost crazy. I want you to suffer, and I know how to make you suffer.
Put down that gun.
Alex.
Hey, don't move, lady.
Tim.
Who is he?
Tim, I don't care about me, but don't kill an innocent, defenseless woman.
Kill? But he is going to kill me?
Yes, because then he'll suffer the way I've suffered.
You're crazy.
Now listen, stay where you are. One move and you get it.
Well, this is crazy. Who is that lunatic?
He's a man I sent to prison years ago. He's out for revenge.
If I kill you, he'll suffer as long as he lives. A wife means more to a man than anything he owns.
He said that about me?
Yes, I said it and I meant it. Life without you...
Come off it, Alex. You're as crazy as he is. Me? I mean more to you than anything else? More than your money and the house and your stuffy friends and your square behavior? There is no love lost between me and my husband. Whatever your name is.
Oh, no, lady. It won't work.
Tim, please lower that gun.
You mean... Alex, you mean that he really intends to kill me, do you?
Yeah.
Why? Why? You murder me, you'll be doing him a favor. He hates me. He hates me because I'm alive and beautiful and he's not sure of me.
Uh-huh.
He's jealous and it's eating him up. He doesn't want me. But he doesn't want anyone else to have me. Can't you understand that? He's got you brainwashed. Uh-huh. I love my wife and I die for her. That is a lie. It's a lie. He loves only himself. He wishes me dead. Don't you understand? Good Lord, can't you feel that?
It's no good. That's a nice try. The more you say what a rotten marriage you got, the more I admire you, the more I know how much he means to you.
Tim, please, listen to reason. Murdering my wife or me or both of us, what happiness could that bring to you? If you kill us, you've signed your own death warrant. Tim, please, don't do it. Let us live. Look, I'll help you, I promise.
Uh-huh.
You've got a good life ahead of you yet, but once you pull that trigger, your life is ended too.
I don't care.
No!
Tim, oh, my God.
So long, Mr. Hunter.
Police! Police! Help!
I got him! I got him, Mr. Hunter. Is this the guy?
Yes. Yes, that's the man, Tim Cohen.
A dirty murderer. I'm glad he didn't get you.
I'm not, Joe. I'm not. He murdered my wife.
I don't know what to say, Mr. Hunter. You all right?
Yeah, I guess so, Joe.
See, he went out the back way. I said stop, and he fired at me. That's when I opened up. Lucky I was on foot. Mancuso took the other guy to the station. I'm awful sorry, Mr. Hunter. She was so beautiful, Well, you'll excuse me.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Joe.
Alex!
He's here, Mr. Small.
Is he all right?
Yeah, he's all right. I got the guy.
Oh, thank the Lord. Alex. Alex, I heard the siren.
He killed Phyllis.
What? Phyllis?
That siren was the ambulance. They just took her away.
Oh, no, I don't believe it. I can't believe it, Alex.
It's true, Len.
Well, I don't understand. Why the devil would that maniac shoot Phyllis?
He wanted to make me suffer. He thought the threat of robbing me of my life would terrify me. It didn't. I didn't have much to look forward to. I puzzled Tim Cohen. I was too cool about having a death sentence hanging over my head, and that bothered him.
I see.
When I walked into the house, he was here, hiding in the dark. Phyllis was asleep on the couch.
But why shoot Phyllis?
Because Tim thought that a wife is a man's most precious possession.
Yes, I begin to see.
Do you?
I'm afraid I do, Alex. What did you say to him?
When Lieutenant O'Malley came to the door, Tim told me that if I tipped O'Malley off, he'd shoot both Phyllis and me. I begged him not to.
And when you got rid of O'Malley, you continued to beg. Is that right?
Why should he kill an innocent person?
Yes, why indeed? Even though the innocent person was a woman your jealousy had led you to loathe. You must be relieved, Alex.
I am.
You misled the poor fool into believing that your life without Phyllis would be barren, desolate, ended.
That's what he concluded. Ordinarily, he'd have been right, wouldn't he?
But after what you told me and Abby earlier tonight, do you realize what you have done?
Yes.
You've committed murder.
Tim Cohen committed murder and paid the price for it.
But you managed it.
My life was at stake.
And you didn't give a damn about hers.
I must admit that is so, Len.
It's horrible. And you're free. And that's more horrible still.
Free indeed.
Look, Alex, don't you realize what you've done? Have you no sense of having arranged a murder? Don't you feel anything?
I feel like having a drink.
But you've caused a life to be cut off.
Mine has been preserved. I'll leave the tears to Jim Marquette and her other conquests. I'm free of all that now.
I am sorry for you, Alex.
Don't be. I'll drink alone. And I'll toast Tim Cohane for giving me back my freedom and my sanity.
Good night, Alex.
There is no witness so terrible, no accuser so potent, as the conscience that dwells in every man's breast. Alex Hunter made an unfortunate marriage. His young wife, Phyllis, was almost too beautiful to be true. She died, indirectly murdered by her husband's would-be assassin. What about his conscience? I'll be back in a moment.
When you say but, you've said a lot of things nobody else can say.
A lot of things. Like a taste, a smoothness, and a drinkability you'll find in no other beer at any price. Let's say this beer, Budweiser, is the king of beers.
When you say Bud, you've said the word that means you like to do it all. When you say Bud, you say you care enough to only want the king of beers.
Budweiser's always been the king of beers, and always will be, for one simple reason. It's quality taste, and that speaks for itself. Hear it talking?
When you say Budweiser, you've said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
What of the sleepless nights when Hunter stares at the ceiling overhead and at the moving shadows swaying in the moonlight? I really murdered Phyllis. I murdered my wife. Tim Cohane's dead. She's dead. And I'm alone. He faces a lifetime of shadows on the ceiling, a lifetime of his conscience gnawing away at him. For a man of morals, that is true suffering. If I know anything about human nature, Tim Cohane got his revenge. Our cast included Mandel Kramer, Leslie Woods, Grace Matthews, Leon Janney, William Redfield, and Earl Hammond. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
This is your captain, Deacon Barnett. We will be traveling for the next few hours till we reach New York over water. We soon will be flying at 35,000 feet. Weather's clear. We should expect a smooth flight. Our ETA, estimated time at Kennedy Airport,
jolly green
8 a.m.
Angie, get that glorious rear end of yours up front on the double with the manifest. Only do it as gracefully as you know how and don't upset anyone.
What's wrong, Scotty? What do you mean, green?
Angie, baby, don't ask questions. Just make like this is the army. Don't ask questions. Move. We are in mucho trouble. And don't forget that manifest.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time... pleasant dreams.
Thank you.
bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News. President Ford is getting set for a busy Labor Day weekend with some political appearances in New England. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. The president will be in Maine and Rhode Island most of Saturday. He addresses an AFL-CIO benefit clam bake in Augusta, Maine, a Republican fundraising luncheon in Portland, and a GOP fundraising dinner in Newport, Rhode Island. The Republican National Committee is paying for the trip. Mr. Ford will fly to New England on a small Jetstar plane rather than Air Force One. Officials say that will save money for the GOP. More news in a moment.
Yes, when you say Bud Weiser.
One thing you can't fool American beer drinkers about, and that's taste. And so many millions of American beer drinkers prefer and choose the Budweiser taste that it's the largest selling beer in the history of the world. It's the king of beers, and its taste tells you why. Hear it talking?
Yes, when you say Budweiser, you say it all.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Hi, world. Denny Bracken's a name. Cooking's a game. Well, actually, it's not my game. It's his game. Chef Mike Roy, you're the cook on this hour, aren't you?
Yeah, we got things.
I'll do some.
Hey, remember the old fox, the booby-toned nose? Where Lou Laird used to say, monkeys is the craziest people.
No, that was before my time.
They were so crazy because monkey like banana.
And?
We mixed a banana with seafood and voila. We have a banana salad with seafood.
Chef's going to make a monkey out of himself tomorrow, here on The Cook Thing on CBS.
President Ford and Democratic congressional leaders have worked out somewhat of a compromise on the issue of domestic oil price controls. The president still intends to veto a six-month extension of the controls that run out at midnight Sunday, but he has agreed to consider a new, shorter extension, probably 2 months. That would give time for Congress to work out a compromise price control measure, one which would likely lift the controls slowly. After meeting with the president Friday afternoon, Senate Democratic leader Mansfield said the question of the veto of the six-month extension bill was discussed.
I raised the question that I had heard on the radio that the veto message had already been written and that Mr. Zarb and Mr. Nessen both yesterday said that there would be a veto without fail. There was no comment forthcoming. I imagine the veto will take place, but in the meantime, we stand a good chance of developing an alternative.
Mansfield says he tried to convince the president that sudden decontrol of domestic oil prices would mean a burst of inflation and unemployment. The nation's vice president and former governor of New York appeared before a grand jury in Warsaw, New York on Friday. The story reported by Connie Chung.
Vice President Rockefeller came to testify about what he has called the most agonizing event in his life, the 1971 Attica prison riot. But he did not look agonized, and he did not act like someone who was about to appear before a grand jury. He smiled, waved, and worked the waiting crowd the way a campaigner would, while a small group of picketers demonstrated against him. They called Rockefeller's controversial decision to retake the prison by force a crime. He was asked if he has any regrets about his actions during the incident.
The only thing that I think if one were looking in retrospect would be that we should have all just gone right through in the beginning. They didn't have guns that were going in just the way they do on a riot control.
Rockefeller will be back in this area next week, not to testify about Attica, but to make campaign-style appearances in Rochester and Greece, New York. Connie Chung, CBS News, Warsaw, New York.
Portugal has a new prime minister, but it's not known whether his appointment will defuse the serious political crisis in that country. It was announced Friday that communist-leading Premier Vasco Gonçalves has been replaced by Admiral José Pinheiro de Azevedo, the Navy commander. But Gonçalves stays on in the government as chief of staff of the armed forces. It is thought that might not be acceptable to socialists and other moderates in Portugal. Hurricane Caroline continues to build strength in the Gulf of Mexico. She's packing winds up to 80 miles an hour right now. The storm is centered about 270 miles southeast of Brownsville, Texas. It's been stationary for the past several hours, and forecasters say they are not sure when it might hit land, but it could be sometime this weekend. Now this.
Thousands of cars are inching along the highways. Suddenly, the earth begins to tremble and sway. Huge cracks open in streets and sidewalks. Tons of glass and stonework tumble, crushing pedestrians and automobiles. The scene is imaginary, a description of what might happen if San Francisco were hit with another earthquake. The writing is from Time Magazine's cover story this week on earthquakes and the efforts being made to predict and control them. This week, every week, Time puts a world of information at your fingertips. Pick up a copy today.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash, speaking on behalf of the National Society for Autistic Children, which is dedicated to the education and welfare of all children with severe disorders of communication and behavior. We support research to determine the cause and to effect a cure. We're the only advocate for these silent children. Help us to help them. Write National Society for Autistic Children, Box 8646, Albany, New York, 12208.
A state funeral has been scheduled for Tuesday in Ireland for one of that nation's heroes, Eamon de Valera, who died Friday in a Dublin nursing home at the age of 92. De Valera manned the Dublin barricades in the 1916 revolution. He dominated Irish politics for nearly half a century and served as the nation's prime minister three times and its president twice. Doug Poling, CBS News.